Good morning, everyone. It is good to see you all here today on this bright and sunny morning. I think that was a little bit of a surprise, given the forecast earlier in the week anyway. And it's good to be together. It's been a week of grim news from many parts of the world. As we gather, let us have faith that we are all in God's hands. I want to start off with a long list of thank yous as we gather for our first Laity Sunday in quite a while. If it had not been for the talents and hard work of the lay worship committee, we would not be here today. So I want to give a shout out to Ann Kinsey, Chris Bodie, Sally Akis, Bonnie and Ken Hales, and Debbie Hendricks from the Elders, and Marge Jewell, Deborah Dayton, Janet Morton, and Sally Jarenko. Again, without their help, this Laity Sunday would not have been possible. I also want to thank the members of the boards who will be sharing during this sermon this morning as well. Scott Vandenberg, Jen Gilbert, Debbie Hendricks, and Dan Panikaita. And thanks to Liz Rivett and Rick O'Connor, who will be doing moments of sharing during this service today. And of course, thanks to Andrew and the music ensembles for their beautiful music, and to Dale for his support and faith in us, and Lisa for her administrative support. Just a quick pitch, if you are interested in participating on the lay worship committee or in worship, even if you can't attend committee meetings at the moment, please speak with one of us. This is an ongoing group that will be providing our ministerial staff with support during worship and related activities as needed. Now, before we start this morning, there are a few announcements, so I want to point to the back of your bulletin for more information. This is Charitable Gift Market Sunday, and due to the inclement weather yesterday, we will be downstairs today. And we hope to see you all there to support all the charities that have come out and support their good work. Next Sunday is our first artist series event, and you'll see more information about that. And we also have the Garden of Health Food Bank and Food Drive, and there's some going on, and there's some information about that on the back of your bulletin as well. And now, at this time, I'd like to invite Liz Rivett to come forward and share with us some information about our upcoming stewardship.
Thank you, Sue. Good morning, everyone. What an exciting day we have here today. And on top of everything else, today we are kicking off our 2024 stewardship campaign, which is entitled Investing in Our Future. So I hope you've had a chance to read the article that was on the cover of The Enlightener this month. That should have a preview to what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks over this season of stewardship. And you might have said to yourself when you saw this, you know, it looks a little bit different this year. It's not quite the same as what it's been every other year. And that's because investing in our future is more than just monetary donations. Each of us has our own talents and skills that we have nurtured and used in our jobs, in our everyday lives. And if you hear the words of Paul as written in 1 Peter and paraphrased by Eugene Peterson, be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so that all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus Christ. So that's why on the card you got this time, in addition to what you normally see, your opportunity to put down how you intend to support St. John's monetarily and our church's wider mission, are two statements. And the first one says, I give to St. John's because, it's a fill in the blank. This is an opportunity for you to reflect and share your why. Why do you give your time and talents and resources to St. John's? What fulfillment does this provide to you personally and spiritually? Over the coming weeks and months, we'll be inviting different members of our community to share their why during our Sunday service, and we'll actually have our first one next week. So this is an opportunity for you to be inspired and hear what other people's why and how they are involved in St. John's, and help you to think about what your why is as well. If you have an interest in sharing your why during these next few weeks or even throughout the year, definitely get in touch with myself or Pastor Dale, and we can help you with that. It's a wonderful opportunity to reflect and share. The second statement is, my gifts I have to share with St. John's and the community include. So this is the part about helping. This is a part about service. It's an invitation for you to share your talents and skills that could be shared with St. John's to further support our ministry both internally and externally. It's fitting that we're introducing this theme for two reasons. Of course, it's Laity Sunday, so we're going to see a lot of these gifts on display today, and we're very grateful for that. And second, of course, the charitable gift market. So there's a lot going on here, and these are wonderful manifestations of how people in our community have shared their gifts. Now, I know you're looking at your card. The last thing is, well, there's no name on it, and that hasn't changed, right? So if you put your why on here and the gifts you have to share, the reason we don't have names on there is because we want to not feel like when you put something on there, you're automatically signing up for something, right? This is really an opportunity for you to reflect and think. Obviously, you write that on the card that you keep yourself as well, so you can look at that throughout the year and think about how can I share my gifts and talents with St. John's. Of course, if you are reflecting on this and are so moved, do reach out to any of us on council or on staff. We're more than happy to hear your ideas, learn of your skills, and see how we can use those to further glorify God. So this is the kickoff. We're going to be collecting covenant cards through Sunday, November 12th. So you have about a month, 4 weeks. You can put them into the offering plate. There will be, it's not there today, but there will be a basket on the altar that you can place it there. You could drop it at the church office, however you would like to return it to us. I'm sure through one of those venues, we will get it. If you have any questions or feedback, please reach out to myself, Mark Bruin, or our chair of the stewardship committee, Karen Methley. Or any of us on council, we can all answer your questions. So to that end, the other thing I wanted to share, and this is during my council president hat, is that we are going to have a congregational meeting followed by a congregational dinner on November 5th. And that congregational meeting is also going to be centered around stewardship and sharing and this theme around investing in our future. So I do hope you can join us. We'll talk about visioning. We'll talk about our church budget. We'll talk about the communications role and the many opportunities that we have to share in the life of the church and the community. So thank you so much for listening and participating in our stewardship campaign this year. And I thank you very much on behalf of the stewardship committee. And I leave you with the challenge of how will you contribute to the life of St. John's in 2024.
Thank you, Liz. So close your eyes and be with me now for a moment as we take a deep, centering breath and prepare ourselves to be present with our church family in this sacred space and open to God's Spirit moving among us. As we contemplated our scripture for today, Matthew's version of the parable of the wedding feast, there were a few themes that jumped out. As we know, especially after Jack's nice explanation of parables last week, there are many levels to parables. But three key messages we decided to focus on were, first, The radical inclusivity of God's call to the kingdom of heaven, which is likened to a royal wedding feast. Everyone is invited, regardless of where you are on life's journey. Second, the response demanded by God to those who are called. Matthew makes it very clear that God's call demands a response, one way or another. And last but not least, the need for those who respond by coming to the feast to be clothed in wedding attire. What does that mean? As some commentators interpreted this, it means to be clothed with, to come with, a Christ-like spirit, or in other words, to put on the Christian life. There are many ways to respond to God's call and come to the feast properly attired. You will hear about just a few of those today. We chose to focus on ways to respond within the context of the church. But our response to God's call must not be limited to within the confines of this institution. We must all respond to God's call using our talents and skills each day, every day. And now, will you join me in the opening hymn?
Please join me for the call to worship. We come. The banquet of hope and praise is ready.
We come on your invitation, seeking to be fed.
Feed on the love of God in Jesus Christ.
We come on your invitation, being healed.
Be healed by God's gracious mercy. In Jesus' name, you are loved, healed, and forgiven.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen.
And And now will you join me in the prayer of confession? Lord, you know we live in a busy, distant world. The voices around us often deafen us to the needs of those around us. Help us hear your call, service to the ministries of hope and healing. Forgive us when we get so caught up in the chaos that we forget your presence. Give us courage and strength to respond to your call by serving your people. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you are called by God to go forth in compassionate ministry and service to help others in need. As you respond to God's call, know that God will clothe you in a Christ-like spirit and will always be with you on your journey. Amen.
Liz. Good morning. Again, we have another parable from Jesus this morning. Sometimes they're a little bit hard to understand, but bear with us, and by the end of today, you'll understand it. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you can find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'"
I'd like to invite the children forward to join me on the steps. You know, we just heard the story about a fancy party, right? And, oh yay, come on up. And I happen to notice, you know, sometimes when we go to parties, what do we bring with us? We bring presents, right? So I happen to notice these two bags up here, but I don't know what they are or why they were here. Is there anybody here that could help explain the... Oh, good, Mrs. Wilkinson can explain it to us.
Good morning. Some of you know who I am, but some of you don't. I'm Carolyn and Gwendolyn's grandmother, and they call me Gigi. You can call me Gigi too. So tell me, raise your hands How many of you have birthdays? Raise your hands. Does everybody have a birthday? What do you think? Do you think these people out here have birthdays? Shall we ask them? Do you have a birthday? Raise your hand if you have a birthday. Ah, yes. Everybody has birthdays. Do you in the choir have birthdays? Good, good. And what do you eat on your birthday that is special just for your birthday?
Cake.
Yeah, what kind of cake?
Whatever kind you want.
Good answer, good answer. We usually have a birthday cake on our birthday, don't we? Do you remember your birthday cakes? And what makes a birthday cake different from every other cake you may ever eat?
They're handmade with love.
Handmade with love, good. Very good answer. And what do they usually put on a birthday cake that makes it special?
Candles.
Candles, yes. We put candles on birthday cakes. And sometimes, what do we shake over birthday cakes to make them good? Do you know?
Say it loud.
Sprinkles.
Sparkles, yes. So we bake a cake, and we bake it, and we put candles on it, and we sometimes put sparkles or sprinkles on it. Yeah. Well, I want to share a little story with you. A friend of mine was helping out at a food bank, and a mother came up to her and said, "Do you have a cake mix? It's my daughter's birthday, and I want to make her a cake." That story stayed in my mind for a long time, and I wondered how to make that possible. And one day, an idea came to me. Let's make birthday cake bags and give one out to people when they have a birthday. So take a bag, either a plain one, hang it up, either a plain bag or a fancy bag. And what do you think we should put in these bags?
Things you need to bake a cake.
Right, right. Let's come and see. What do you think you might put in here first? Well, a very good idea, a baking pan. Maybe the person who's going to bake a cake doesn't even have a baking pan. Let's see what else. Of course, the cake mix. What next? What's a cake without icing? You have to have icing. Any flavor will do.
And then candles.
Of course, candles. These say happy birthday. Very appropriate. And something to make the cake sparkle? Sprinkles. Put these in your birthday cake bag. So, what do you sometimes get in the mail around the time of your birthday?
A birthday card.
Birthday cards. Maybe we want to put a birthday card in the birthday cake bag. And what do you usually open on your birthday? Do you know what you open? Do you get something?
Presents.
Maybe you could even stick a present in the bag. Everybody likes Play-Doh. So, Now, the big question is, when should you do this? A couple of years ago, you heard this same children's sermon, and we were blessed with about 75 bags in the next 3 weeks. Manna was overwhelmed. Now, do you know what month your birthday is in?
When's your birthday?
March.
February.
February. So we're thinking this time, if you all make a birthday cake bag in the month of your birthday or the birthday of someone you love and bring it in and put it out. Now, those of you who have October birthdays, hop to it. It's your turn right now. Now, those of you who have November birthdays, get ready. Your turn's coming soon. And those of you who have December birthdays, I know your birthday's in December. You often get lost in the Christmas rush. Don't lose someone else in the Christmas rush. This is a chance to help celebrate the birthday of someone you don't even know. So, in the month of your birthday, make a birthday cake bag and bring it in, and we'll see that it gets to Manna. Now, let's say a little prayer. Dear God, thank you for birthdays. Thank you for the chance to celebrate with our friends and family. And thank you for giving us this opportunity to celebrate, to help someone else whom we don't even know celebrate their birthdays. Finally, thank you for your son, Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father,
Good morning. Ask you to join me in a moment of prayer. Loving God, as this message is offered by multiple people today, may your words be heard amongst our words, and may ears be opened to hear your invitation to the feast. Amen. Our scripture today is about an invitation and how people responded to that invitation. In this story, we see the persistence of God, who continually invites us to the party. God, who offers the invitation to everyone, always widening the circle. The invitation from God is always there for us, and we have to respond. But our response has to be with the right spirit so that we are open and willing to receive what God offers. We have to accept that we don't control the guest list at this party. It is open to all, but that also means we are free to invite anyone who is seeking in the same way we are. The challenge of being God's people is that we don't come to God on our terms. We don't choose our own wedding garments, but must seek guidance from God to be clothed with a Christ-like spirit. And each person's garment is different, fashioned and colored by their gifts and talents and ability to serve. Here now, as the representatives from our church council, tell you about how they have found ways to accept God's invitation to come to the party.
Good morning. So as I came to prepare for this, I thought about what deacons do. And there's two basic types of service to the church that are talked about in the Bible. One is the spiritual side, which is your elders, your educators, and things like that. And then there are your people that deal with the physical side of things. The trustees deal with the physical church. They keep this lovely building repaired and so wonderful for us. And the deacons are the people that provide for the physical needs. In the early church, they would have distributed food to the poor and people that needed it. So here at St. John's, the deacons are basically the ones that work in the kitchen. We do the social hosting, we do the dinners and things of that nature. And I looked up qualifications for deacons, and there was things like you have to be dignified and honest and sound in faith, and oh, you can only have one wife. I thought that was interesting. But I guess what it really comes down to is, to be a deacon, you can think big. You can work on those big dinners and plan events and things like that. Or you can do it in very small ways. You can just be a social host on a Sunday, which is something that is always really helpful to the deacons. And if you're not able to, you can always talk to me or one of the deacons and we can get you some help. When I came to this and I was asked to be a deacon, I was like, I can't cook. Like, my wife says when I cook dinner, I'm going to be serving Tums with whipped cream for dessert. But that's the beautiful thing about deacons. Everybody, like when I started, Steve Bossert was one of the deacons, and Steve is a great chef, and he could plan these wonderful meals. And he would just, you know, you just find where you can serve and how you can serve. I think that's what really comes down to anything to do with church service. It can be big, it can be small, it could be anything, really. As I said, serving as a deacon, serving on trustees, if you have skills in those areas, wherever you feel the calling is where you should go. And I think that's where it really comes down to. Thank you very much.
Good morning, church. Nobody else heard it. Who are the educators? We're a group of families blended by our shared loves. There are some musts
for being an educator. First, you must enjoy socializing. Second, you must love spending time with others. And lastly, you must have a general liking of kids. It helps, not a requirement. Plus, we're all a little bit crazy, so that helps, along with the background checks, which help really a lot too. To me, the educators are ones who help guide so many of our youth down a path towards their relationships with God, with their family, their faith, and their church. As the years go by, every educator, past or present, will tell you that seeing the little ones they taught growing up and coming back to be the educator brings everything full circle and gives a feeling of fulfillment, or old age, depending on how you look at it. We enjoy seeing the wonder and amazement in their eyes as they learn and, again, as they teach, choosing the path that they want to take on this very personal journey. Let me tell you about a few things we are doing. This year, with Abby Lamp at the helm, we've decided to try something new. We have changed the Sunday school program to our new Connect 3 program, which is our exploration of family, fellowship, and community. But the educators aren't just here to educate the kids. We are here for all of St. John's members and for the people of the community outside these walls. Having whole families participating together makes it that much more rewarding. Which takes us to VBS. VBS has transformed many times over the years, some better, some worse, but always with a purpose. And never has it been just about the kids. Adults like fun too. Recently, VBS has meant volunteer, believe, and serve, and it has brought us to some amazing opportunities within the communities around us. Last year, we worked with three local charities, Mitzvah Circle, Urban Promise, and MCC Material Resource Center. This year, we volunteered with Garden of Health in Hatfield. Even though the deacons are the technical organizers of the picnic every year, with all the tasties and, you know, all the heavy lifting, however, the only things people remember are the games. Come on, Reverend Sue's candy toss, an egg toss, a water balloon toss. It's not cookies, so bonus. And the kids' excitement is contagious. Easter, oh my God, Easter. Being a part of the group that puts candy into little pocket-sized containers is always a win in my book. Is there really much more to say? But the looks on the faces of everyone is what makes the day so memorable. The Advent event, this too has transformed quite a bit over the years. We may not do the larger events anymore, but we still get our amazing afternoons, just in shorter chunks. We still have the crafts, games, and holiday sing-alongs. We've had and would love to get back to great family activities, like the movies under the stars, although there were no stars to see because it was still too light out. Movie nights in the activity room with a popcorn machine, a snow tubing trip to Springmount, and so many other awesome things that brought us all together. With kids, without kids, it doesn't matter. Anyone is welcome. You don't have to have a kid to be a part of the educators. Just have to have a want to be a part of something more. Like the parable, if you look to bring in only certain types of people to a group, you could end up with no one, but if you open it up to anyone with a desire to be a part of something, we will end up with a lot more ways to better ourselves as a board, a member of the church, the community, and as a person. One of the statements that I keep coming back to is, what we do now will determine what kind of future St. John's will experience. That statement couldn't be any truer than it is right now, because we lived that statement. A few years ago, we invested in a young, brand new, fresh off the monastery boat associate pastor, and look where that investment has gotten us. Don't tell her I said this, but since Pastor Addy came to join our family, I have seen so many brighter, happier faces on Sunday mornings, and the kids are excited to see her too. There are some things that are worth putting a little extra investment into. Financial isn't always the way to go. It's cliche, but these children are our future, and they're watching us. We need to be the ones to set the example and decide where we want to be on their list of people who helped shape them. We're not looking for new educators to help take us back to who we once were, just to help us grow and evolve into who we're meant to be. Thank you.
Good morning. I know you all have heard about this parable. And in writing this, I thought, well, what's the best way to explain the elders? We are not what elders seem to want to be pictured at. We're not a group of old people. I had thought about how to interpret this parable. So I just want you to listen carefully and see what you think. And if you can just be with me in imagination. First of all, picture the wedding invitation. A beautiful open invitation with the date, the time, the place each week. Fresh flowers adorn the head table. The building where this heart and of the ceremony and the feast take place is cared for by the trustees and our custodial staff. We thank them. The meal choices here are amazing. This royal wedding feast invites everyone that comes with an open heart and mind to learn, worship, socialize, and to help others. Those that accept the invitation, each of you, has chosen to be clothed in a Christ-like spirit and therefore welcome and encouraged to enjoy the feast. Our leaders, with the help of God, prepare the food and the drink to keep us nourished and fed. As participants and recipients of this feast, we are tasked to share this bounty with others. The elders' main responsibility is to care for the health and well-being of our leaders and you, the congregation, so the feast remains strong and ongoing. This we do through the guests and members and your willingness to accept God's call. The elders' team supports the already established ministries ongoing by the volunteers of this church. It provides support to new members and confirmands, provides care and hospitality to homebound members through phone calls, visitations, greeting at the door those that come to the feast, and provides support to our music ministry, our wonderful music ministry. Recently, the elders have worked to re-energize some of the existing established ministries. For example, our visitation process has been much more focused this year, as we have established a list of shut-ins and members who have not regularly attended and assigned each a church partner for visitation and communication. This feast must be shared with those here and those unable to be here. Many additional ministries and committees exist, such as drivers that assist with providing transportation to those unable to drive to get to this feast. The umbrella ministry by the back door welcomes those that attend at the ramp door. A prayer chain made up of a group of dedicated members who pray for those who request prayers for anyone suffering, ill, grieving, healing, or just need prayer. The hospitality team acts as ushers and ensures our safety each Sunday, along with assisting members and visitors. The elders also encourage those that wish to assist the pastors as lay individuals who read scripture, the joys and concerns, and assist with prayer time. Each of these ministries requires the guests and members to ensure the wedding comes off without a hitch, and guests, for young and old. We all need to be nourished. Although it is not required, we welcome volunteers to participate, and I'm here to tell you, the rewards are great. Now stay with me for just another minute. Sometimes feasts require a change of menu and a change in presentation. After all, those with dietary restrictions must be fed as well. And for this reason, the elders have supported the new Wednesday Night Live program in its efforts to attract new participants, young and old, in a somewhat different experience, allowing families whose time constraints may not be able to make the Sunday morning feast regularly. These ministries that are already established and those not yet in existence or ones that you would like to lead or join in are the spiritual actions and outreach of this church. Our host, the Heavenly Father, only asks that we all contribute to the health of the church and to our community, near and far, in whatever way each person feels comfortable and willing to share. I remind you, the wedding registry is large, and it accommodates all budgets of time and energy. So, have you thought about your role in this feast? With all the challenges we have had to face in the past few years, we need additional participants. No matter your age or gender, please help us help this wedding feast stay strong and grow. Many hands make light work, as you all know. We ask you to consider joining the feast, strengthening our church here and beyond our walls. When the party is over for the day, you will return home, fulfilled, refreshed, and renewed. Thank you.
I almost feel guilty about saying this, but emphasis on the word almost. I'll be the first to admit I am not a big fan of parables. I like straightforward, to-the-point messages, unencumbered by symbolism and metaphors. I can't think of the last time I spoke to someone in parables. It's just not the way things are done these days. So when inviting people to serve on the Board of Trustees, I believe it's not in my best interest to reference a parable that contains torture and killing should you choose to decline that invitation. It is not my idea of encouraging a positive response. But to be sure, it is an invitation to serve God by serving His church. It has come to my attention that there is some confusion about what trustees are all about. So let me address some of these concerns that may be causing you to hesitate volunteering due to misconceptions about what the trustees actually do and how you could be part of it. The trustees are responsible for overseeing the maintenance of St. John's to ensure that everything is in working order, that the church is clean and safe and presentable, and that we put our best foot forward, whether it be for our regular Sunday service, a wedding, a memorial service, or a baptism. This is done by our building and grounds supervisor, Leroy, and our custodian, Bill. We also see that issues brought to us by the building and grounds supervisor are addressed as soon as possible. If there are issues beyond the trustees' budget, we bring them before the full council for approval of those funds that may be required to fix the problem. This could be a new boiler, roof repairs, or anything that may require outside expertise that is beyond the scope of our maintenance supervisor and trustees themselves. A prime example of this is the exterior restoration project. We are not just inviting men who have specific skills in the building trades to join. We are very fortunate to have very dedicated St. John's members who are well versed in these building trades and who have never hesitated to offer those skills when called upon. As a matter of fact, we're not just inviting men at all. We have also been very fortunate to have had several women on the Board of Trustees. One such person is Kay Fiala, who is now in our choir. In 2011, Kay was the trustee who led the task of finding a company to provide us with an insurance appraisal for our stained glass windows. Kay worked closely with a woman named Carrie Crowe, American Consultation on Stained Glass, and she saw the project through from the initial contact to the very successful and vitally needed completion. Did Kay have expertise on stained glass windows when she joined the trustees? No, she did not. But she saw a way she could serve, and not only was it a benefit to St. John's, but it became a great learning experience for Kay and the rest of the trustees as well. As a side note, in 2011, a 57-page document appraised the value of the windows at $1,452,972. Today, their replacement value is in excess of $2.6 million. Their preservation remains the responsibility of the trustees. To be sure, we all have talents that we may not immediately recognize as useful to the Board of Trustees. Years ago, I asked myself, how could my professional career in graphic arts possibly be applied to the work that they do? Yet here I am about to begin my 9th year as a trustee. God does find a way. I hope this answers any of your questions and allays any doubts you may have how you might fit in. Please consider this as an invitation to serve God by serving St. John's as a member of the Board of Trustees. No skills necessary other than a desire to answer the call. Thank you.
Good morning. I just have to start by mentioning how much I deeply enjoy Laity Sunday, because you just get to hear some like creative and honest perspectives on and wonderful music from a wide variety of quote-unquote regular people. So speaking as a layperson, I'm really enjoying all the voices we are hearing this morning, so thanks to everyone who shared. Here we are this Sunday, looking at another of Jesus' parables in the Gospel of Matthew. The last few weeks, we have read several parables, each one giving us a view of another facet of the kingdom of heaven, helping us to puzzle through the mysteries to help give us understanding. The parables grab our attention, make the usual stand on its head, often even shocks us a little, or more than a little. In this parable, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And just like that, we have an image in our head. A banquet, a wedding, the marriage of the king's own son. Getting an invitation to that event, can you even imagine it? It would be just astounding. The anticipation would take your breath away. And how many weeks and months do you think the king planned this banquet? As anyone who has been involved in planning a wedding, you can appreciate the enormity of this event. And one hosted by a king is probably nearly unfathomable to us. From what I understand, a wedding banquet in that era wasn't a one-day event, but would go on for at least a week, which meant literal days and nights of feasting and merriment, music and food and entertainment, celebrating with friends and family. Tables piled high with food and drink, the likes of which we can hardly imagine. Sweetmeats and swan, boar and sturgeon and stag, cheeses and chutneys, pies and pastries, fruits and nuts spiced with caraway, nutmeg, and cardamom. The king and his entire household preparing for months and months for this. And now the gospel says, after all this preparation, the king is ready. Tell those who have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. All right, it's finally time. But guess what? The guests don't come. Remember, this wedding is going on for a week. It's not like a guest can say, well, I can't make it, I have a doctor's appointment. Or, sorry, I'll be out of town that day. They have all week to arrive at this wedding and join the celebration. So these guests aren't saying, I can't come, they're saying, I won't come. an essential difference. To top it off, some invitees become violent. Others, in a massive insult, simply shrug and turn and go back to their normal, everyday routine. One to his field, another to his business. They completely ignore the king in this extraordinary celebration. It's inconceivable. The king is completely gobsmacked. A wedding for my son. I've pulled out the stops for this banquet and for my guests to enter and enjoy to the utmost. And then his stunned amazement turns to fury. He is enraged, and after destroying the city, he says in verse 8, "Those I invited did not deserve to come, so go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. My friends, the wedding banquet table is still loaded high today. Each and every day, we are called to come, to join, to step aside from our toil and celebrate, to arrive to the party with joy and put on the wedding garment of celebration and service. The kingdom of God is a feast. Our God is a God of laughter, of full bellies, of tables groaning with lavish banquets, of second and third helpings. Just like the guests in this parable, we are called to this banquet by God, the host, whether we are good or bad or a complicated mixture. The invitation is irrespective of cultural background, education, income bracket, or popularity. We are invited as we are. The gates to the kingdom of heaven are not open for just the special guests, but are open to all. The key is not what we are, but how we respond. By turning to the host's invitation with appreciation and thanks, and putting on the garment provided to us through the host's love. And what about this garment? I have to wonder about the rather unsettling ending to this parable. A guest has spurned the host's wedding garment gifted to the attendees by the king. The king asks, "How did you get in here, friend?" When the guest is given the opportunity to explain and apologize and join the party, he refuses. He cannot admit his pride. So the king says, "Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness." Not because that guest is unworthy, all the guests are unworthy, but because this guest is not willing to enter into the banquet feast with a Christ-like attitude of humility and thanks. So let's joyfully step up to the table and join this fabulous feast with gratitude. Pile your plate high and enjoy the celebration. Bring your gifts, personality, puzzlements, and uniqueness to the table. The host has invited each one of us here, both individually and collectively as a church, to put on the banquet garment and be in his presence with delight. Whether you are good or bad, full of faith or doubt, or a complicated mixture, accept the generous and lavish invitation to the table with a spirit of thanks and eagerness to serve. We are all welcome. Amen.
Thank you.
We have some joys and concerns written in our book today. Joy, Stephanie Giampa is celebrating her birthday today. Sorry. Okay. Kudos to Don Adkins and St. John's Gardeners for recognition and award by the Norristown Garden Club for our beautiful community gardens. Thank you. Yes. And another joy, we thank Dan Panachida for joining the women's retreat yesterday. He had some wonderful stories to tell and showed us his beautiful artwork. It was really nice. Thank you, Dan. And thank you to Reverend Dale for letting us take over the sanctuary today and give you a day off. Thank you. We have some concerns. Steve Bossert is in the hospital. And Peg Perry, a friend of the Hogans, will have heart surgery on Monday for two aneurysms. Let us pray. Loving, gracious God, sometimes we get too busy in our daily lives to hear your invitation to the feast. We know how to act at the feast, but aren't always on our best behavior. Help us be the people who attend wearing the right attire, which means to respond with a Christ-like spirit or Christian life. We show up on Sunday mornings eager to hear your words, but sometimes during the week those words get lost or forgotten because of the frustration of what goes on around us in our daily lives. We forget to act as Christians sometimes. It's hard to be on our best behavior all the time as we would at the feast. We need your help. You have called us to follow you. We would like to think we do that most of the time. Help us to understand new ways we can respond to your call right here at St. John's. There are ways we can serve our church and help it to grow into the best feast ever. We all have talents. Help us to use them to respond to your call. We celebrate with Stephanie, with another year of blessings. We are happy for Don and all the gardeners who give us beautiful gardens around our church. And thank you for Dan and the laity, Sunday, all the volunteers who have responded to your call. We pray for Steve as he recovers And we pray for Perry, Peg Perry, as she faces surgery. We pray for all the innocent people, mothers, fathers, children, and babies who have been slaughtered in Israel. We don't know how to respond to such hate other than to pray for those families. Let us take a moment to pray for what lies on our hearts right now. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let us rise as our offerings are brought forward as we celebrate and give them to God's works.
Before we do that, I'd like to invite Rick O'Connor to come up to share.
Good morning, St. John's. I always wanted to do that. One of the ways we can answer God's call at St. John's is by offering our time, talents, and resources. I'd like to talk for just a few minutes about the very important volunteer work so many of our members accomplish for St. John's. I don't know of a better example of people using their many gifts and talents in service to God. We have members that offer their considerable skills in creating and maintaining the beautiful gardens surrounding St. John's. We have members that can turn out delicious meals from our kitchen, as well as coffee and snacks after every service. We have members that help other members get to and from doctor appointments or Sunday morning services. We have members that greet us warmly every Sunday morning and ensure a safe environment as we worship. Pretty soon, the Christmas season will be upon us, and as if by magic, a small group of volunteers convert this sanctuary into a visual celebration of the Christmas spirit. We have each been given so many gifts from God that it feels only right that we use those gifts to lend a hand, when and where we can, in service to others here at St. John's. I want to tell you about the newly updated A to Z guide for St. John's. If you have ever overheard two or more St. John's members talking, it will not take long before they use an acronym or a phrase or refer to a group by some mysterious name. To the rescue, a newly updated A to Z guide, or as I call it, How to Speak St. John's, will help you decipher these acronyms and puzzling names and phrases. Contact the church office and get your copy as soon as possible. Have you ever heard the saying, many hands make light work? While this is not always true, it does seem to fit our situation quite well. Volunteering your time and sharing your experience and insight will make for light work. It's always been surprising to me just how satisfying and personally rewarding a short commitment of time can have. There are so many opportunities. Try one on for size. Do it with a friend, do it to make a friend. And lastly, some of us are fortunate enough to have the means to donate financially to one or more of the over 30 groups associated with St. John's. Some you are already familiar, like OCWM or GEM. Others you may be less familiar. Check out that new A to Z guide for a handy decoder document. you'll get a whole new appreciation for the far-reaching support that comes from St. John's. St. John's needs you. I hope you'll volunteer your time and talents and support us with your financial resources as you're able to help us, all of us here at St. John's, become the example of Christian growth we know it to be. Thanks for listening.
Okay, we'll try this again. Please stand as our offerings are given, are brought forward to do God's work. Thank you.
Receive and bless these gifts and all the gifts, including our time and talents, that we bring to this table each day. Guide us to use them to accomplish your will. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, go out into this day and every day and use your God-given time, talents, skills, and resources to respond to God's call. As you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his grace shine upon you, and may he grant you his peace. Amen. Thank you.
That's it.